Welcome to my evil lair of evilness. Ow, that actually hurt. Hi, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there, and welcome to another rendition of the Dynamic Dominance Trio Review, aka DDT Reviews. And we are here once again to bring you your weekly WWE NXT for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. But more importantly, this is the go-home show for NXT, as Stand and Deliver is only a few days away. What is touted to be NXT's biggest PLE of the year, which I agree with, Stand and Deliver is the WrestleMania equivalent for NXT roster. And we are here to give you our thoughts, opinions, kudos, and gripes with this week's go-home show. I am one of the three hosts. I am Mikey, also known as El Jefe around these parts. I run the ones and twos, and I am the face that kind of runs the place a little bit. But I am joined this week, as always, with my lovely co-host. First and foremost, you can find him all over the NXT, the ROH, and the TNA reviews. And you might see him pop up in some other stuff this upcoming weekend that he's normally not assigned to. But, you know, it's all hands on deck with this one. Mr. A to Z himself, Andrew, we got a lot to discuss with NXT this week.
What's up?
What's up? And then, of course, last but certainly not least, our third co-host to fill out the trifecta of this lovely team. You can find him here on 4NXT and on the TNA Review Squad as well. Papa Oso, Will, thank you. I know it's been a long day. We're going to get through this together, I promise.
It's all good. I'm good.
Sweet. All righty. So let's not waste any time. We got a lot to cover for this go-home show. And spoiler alert, we also have a predictions for Stand and Deliver, so stay tuned for that. But NXT this week opens up with our final match, the finals, if you will, that we've been getting the last couple weeks. This is a number one contenders match. This is a tag team triple threat. The winner of this match will go on to face the Wolf Dogs at Stand and Deliver for the NXT Tag Team Championships. Also, just as a side note, they actually have a shirt now. I love it. It's fantastic. But we had Nathan Frazier and Axiom versus LWO versus the Osley / the Good Brothers / Luke, like Gallows and Anderson. This match was wild and chaotic all over the place. Like, there was bodies flying everywhere and it did not stop. And I think because bodies were flying everywhere, we did get a wonky finish, though, because I was like, there was a weird spot where, like, nothing happened. I'm like, I don't think that was supposed to happen. But, I mean, I have to give kudos, because if I were a tag team, I would definitely throw. I would try to knock out the OC as quickly as possible, because they are the biggest threat size-wise and experience-wise as a tag team. But, man, I gotta say, my LWO boys and then Frazier and Axiom held it down for this. I just want those four. I want those four just to fight. Like, take everyone else out of the equation. Frazier and Axiom versus LWO is a match I want to see. And I will say this again. Why do we not let LWO, especially Joaquin and Cruz, do the same kind of stuff on SmackDown? Because they don't get the chance on SmackDown. And I'm very sad. They hit different in NXT. But boys, this was a chaotic start. How do we feel about the match? And then how do we feel about our winners too? Because I am, for one, am quite happy. I'm happy who won this match, because I think it's going to be great at Stand and Deliver. But what did we think about this match?
I liked it. And you're right, it was crazy. And I wasn't all that surprised with the outcome, actually. I kind of figured that it was going to be, because they've been pushing these two quite a bit lately, like subtly, like every so while. I mean, they would make an appearance like almost every episode, and I was like, I wonder what that's all about. And then this was happening, and I was like, oh, you know what? I bet you they're going to Stand and Deliver. I bet you anything that they're going to win this match. Sure enough, they did. But yeah, it was super crazy. But I mean, I kind of figured it was going to be. I thought it was going to be super chaotic. Like, almost to a point where it's like, a little too chaotic, maybe. Because there were a few moments I was sort of like, okay, there's a lot going on right now. <It's> like, but I mean, I enjoyed it, you know. I mean, I enjoyed all the matches of the evening, but this one was super, super chaotic. Like, more so than I was expecting it to be. Well, no, that's not true. Because I was expecting it to be pretty damn chaotic. And it was. And it was. So, but yeah. I kind of expected the outcome.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they used the 4-on-2 approach really well to show how the LWO, Axiom, and Frazier like to highlight their skills, while also it was the best way that they could use the OC to make them come off as like powerhouses, because you know, they are much bigger than the other teams, and they're obviously not as fast. It was a bit spotty at times, as in like lots of spots. But it was still fun, and it made Frazier and Axiom look smart and skilled in the way that they approached a lot of the match. And I agree with you, it seemed like there was a miscue at the end, because there was that double clothesline that didn't quite end the way they seemed like they should have, and then like Joaquin Wild like just fell out of the ring, like through the ropes, and commentary tried to save it, saying like, oh, this has taken everything, I mean, like, everyone's taking a beating in this match, they're just falling down, and so, but, you know, I mean, it was fine the way it worked out in the end, and, you know, the best part for me was that the OC didn't win, and no hate against them, but this wasn't their spot to win, and I think Frazier and Axiom was a really good choice, because the two of them against the Lithologists is going to be a crazy match, because you've got two powerhouses who can actually go against them, and Mikey, you finally get your hope of seeing Bron Breakker and Nathan Frazier runner-ups against each other, so.
A man can dream. Hopefully we get to see that at Stand and Deliver. And we get a quick promo from these two afterwards. I am of the mindset, I don't necessarily like promos like as soon as the match is over. It's like, you just wrestled all this time. You are so out of breath. Tell me how you feel. I'm like, and I'm going to be honest, I didn't understand what Axiom was saying, because between the breaths and the mask, I was just like, I don't know what you said, Axiom, but I'm here for it. And then we have in the perch, as I called it in NXT, the Wolf Dogs just staring down at their challengers, which sets up what we're getting at Stand and Deliver: Bron, the Wolf Dogs versus Axiom and Nathan Frazier, also known as, Andrew has dubbed them as, Velocity. I'm excited for this match. This was a chaotic opening. I loved it. And then we immediately went into a Lexus King promo. First and foremost, I want to talk about the set design. This was garbage. This was trash. Like, this was not a great set. And the promo did not help anything either, because I'm like, Lexus, I get why we're setting this up, but why do we keep finding you in these weird altercations with the most random people on the roster? I'm like, did something happen? And this is my belief. I think we were supposed to get something between him and Eddie, but since Eddie's been out on injury, that kind of threw plans out the door. So we've been hopping Lexus from feud to feud. And it just happens that Vaughn and Mr. Stone are the ones that he's been feuding with the most. And the promo was not good, you guys. This was not a good promo. It was supposed to set up the match we were getting later in the evening. Lexus says that, Vaughn, you're on your own now. Mr. Stone can't help you. He can't save you. And, you know, I'm going to beat you tonight. And I'm just like, you're probably going to win, but I could care less about what we're seeing. I'm like, you tried, but I need you to fire the set designer. I need you to fire the lighting person. And I need you to fire whoever does your beard, because we still can't get it lined up and matching a color. Pick a struggle. You can't have both, Lexus. You pick a struggle. You can't do both.
Yeah. God, you know, Lexus King to me is becoming what Baron Corbin was when I first started, where literally whenever he's on the screen, I'm like, I'm shutting down. I'm like, I can't handle it. My God, shut your mouth. You know, these, and I agree. It's like, what the, I just want to just shake people over there and go, what are you doing with this dude? Because I don't know what the hell he's supposed to be. It was like, it was exactly, it's just like Baron Corbin. Like, what the hell, what is he supposed to be? Because right now it's just like, stupid is what he is. And I'm just literally every single time he flashes on my screen, I'm like, oh God, they're going to let him talk. And then he talks, and then I'm just like, oh my God. Now you need elocution lessons. You need to take a public speaking class. And you need to get that misogynistic thing under control too, buddy. It's like, I mean, I get the shtick, but it's getting gross. It's really starting to get gross. So yeah, I was like, whatever. And you're right, that whole thing. It was like a fifth grader designed it. And that's like, you know, and I know some talented fifth graders.
Yeah, I didn't really care about this feud, and this promo didn't make me care anymore. So
no,
that's about it.
Make no damn sense.
You're muted, Mikey.
Mikey, you're muted.
The universe was telling me we should move on from that now. I hated this promo, and we'll talk about the match because I hated the match. The
match was dumb too.
We will get there when we talk about that. So I'm gonna do the Andrew method of, you know, following notes. So we get a Fallon Henley entrance. Then we cut to the parking lot with Ilya Dragunov getting a boot on his car. And so the family sends a car to take him to, you know, the separate location for this dinner. And then we come back into the ring. Yes, I'm skipping over this because that parking lot segment did not do anything except set up we were going to get later, which then has us have JC Jane give her entrance. And we enter our next match, Fallon Henley versus JC Jane. I thought for the time that we got, this was a fine match. I thought it was stellar. Fallon Henley has improved so much since being a part of the NXT roster. She's becoming one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. JC is also fantastic. That knee. Oh my God, you guys. I was like, oh, JC, I love you now. And then, of course, I love Fallon just isn't afraid in her new, you know, character, you know, progression. All the other girls, they're going to try to gig up on her. Fallon, instead of being scared, it's like, all right, let's do this, and starts punching everybody in the face when she gets out there. Was it? Kiana James took a big old punch from Fallon. She sold that beautifully. She was like, ah. But of course, through shenanigans and chaos, because then Kalani Jordan comes out of nowhere and jumps people. Thea, like, is being held back at one point because she's trying to, like, scratch people's eyes out. And it causes a distraction for JC to pick up the win. And the mean girls, as I'm calling them until we get an official stable name, stand tall by the end of this. Which leads into a continuous segment backstage in gorilla position. But boys, what did we think of this match between Fallon and JC?
I have mixed feelings. I think I would rather have had the match without all the shenanigan stuff. I think I would have liked to have seen these two actually battle it out and see who came out on top, like, legitimately. And the shenanigans are fun. Yeah, they are. They're fun. But, you know, I just... It was going, and I was like, okay, I'm here. And then, yeah, then the stuff started happening. And I was like, come on, guys. I mean, it was a decent fight. I mean, it wasn't bad. And then it just got muddy, you know, because everybody is like, oh, I got to get in there and do something so somebody loses and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I'm got mixed feelings on it. I love all of these wrestlers. I love every dang one of these women. And I just want to see them fight each other. Like, and I don't mean that in a misogynistic way. I mean, I just want to see these wrestlers perform. And I think, you know, shenanigans happen. Yeah, I get it. But do they have to? Like, I don't know. I didn't feel like the shenanigans really were doing anything. I think all the relationships were already established. So it's not like when it happened, it was suddenly it was like, oh, no, I can't believe you did that. Now I'm going to hate on you. It's like they were already hating on each other. So it's just like, so yeah, anyway, I could talk about it all day, but I mean, like I said, I like the match. I wish it had been more just them.
I mean, I thought it was a really good match. They both looked really strong, and I agree, Mike, that knee finish was brutal, especially the timing of her just like coming in and not even fully getting standing. I don't mind the trope of the faces kind of being stupid or naive or whatever, such as like getting distracted by obvious distractions or attacking one at a time. Like there's three of them and one, like Thea went over and attacked, and then Kalani came over to help like after she was already getting beat down. So it was like you put yourself into a three-on-one situation. I don't mind that because it plays into kind of like how much the heels have like riled them up and how like heated they're getting, but I hope it doesn't continue as we go into this six woman match. Because I would like to get to see them all do as well as they can do, especially with what we saw from Thea last week. But all in all, I thought this was a really good match. The match itself was one of my favorite matches of the night.
Ooh, nice. Well, I mean, Andrew, you touched upon it before. We don't cut away from this match because we go straight with the continuous shot with JC and the heels coming through the curtain first. JC cuts this promo, and this is what I've been asking for the last couple weeks, because Will and you will understand this. I've said on multiple occasions that, okay, we know that JC is heel, but I need to know why and what is the reasoning. And I got this here. However, my critique with this is not the promo itself. It's just the sequence of events. Like, we had her be a heel, but we didn't know her motivation. We didn't get an explanation as to why until now. And it's been like three weeks to about a month since she's kind of gone back to her heelish persona a little bit. It's like, I'm a mean girl now. I'm doing all these things. Okay, now we're close to Stand and Deliver. Here's why I'm doing the things I'm doing. And from a writer's perspective for me in storytelling, like, it doesn't do the story arc any justice when you mix. I think once you find character motivation and you get an understanding of the reasons why a character does something, then it makes all the subsequent actions be enhanced a little bit, because now that you understand their motivation, you can make connections and you can deep dive into the reasons why they do certain things. The heel turn for me personally came out of nowhere the last month or so that we've gotten this. And now I'm okay with it because I got an explanation. But my biggest critique is we should have had that first and then see all these things that JC has done. Not wait until the 11th hour, so to speak, on the go home show to give me this. But JC wants the spotlight where she rightfully deserves to be. Ava's not having it, so she sends the girls away. And then our faces come in and Thea Hale breaks the speakers on my television at this point. Because she is yelling and screaming, and she made the microphones peak. But all this equates to, and both of you touched on it before, at Stand and Deliver, it is a six-woman tag team match with Kiana James, Izzy Dane, and JC Jane versus Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, and Kalani Jordan, which I'm excited for. I hope they get time, and I hope that it's just not brawl, just the brawl. I want each of them to show me why. And actually, in particular, all six of these, minus Izzy, why these five have been in rotation the last year and a half and have done so much to improve character and in-ring. I want this to be a showcase for them of how far they've come. So here's hoping. Crossing my fingers here. I'm just going to gloss over this next thing. We get one of two different video packages. This one's with Josh Briggs. You know, the man of mayhem, I think, is what his moniker is now. I was just like, sir. I, for one, do not like JBL. He is a heinous individual. He's done some really not so cool things. And we are aware of not cool things that he's done, but we still reference him. And he made an appearance when Josh did his turn after that one conversation with JBL. But Josh is going to take the title from Obafemi is essentially what it is. And spoiler alert, you probably will not. I'm just putting it out there, Josh. I'm just like, we just need a Haas match to have a Haas match. But this did nothing for me. This is the least interesting feud that we've got going into freaking Stand and Deliver. That's saying something because we just put the six women tag together like literally this episode. And that has more stakes in it than this match. I'm like, we know the outcome. We know what's going to happen. We could have just had a one-on-one match, but you're taking two of your other big hosses. They're going to get fed to Obafemi, and there's other men on the roster, but by taking out Josh and taking out Dijak, you literally have ran through your the more upper echelon of your men's division for Oba to face, because he's pretty much fought and beaten everybody you got right now. Only person you have left is if Wesley returns, or if you want to make Eddie Thorpe, now that he's back from injury, go after Oba for it, then let's do it. But you have painted yourself in the corner with this. But sticking to the promo, I hated it. It did nothing for me. I like Josh, but this feud is not it for me.
Makes no damn sense.
No. And you know what? As the boss, we're just going to... I don't want to talk about this later. I want to get this over with now. We also get a Dijak promo towards the tail end of the show before we had, and like that's also a promo segment I did not like. I was just like, we had something going with Gacy and I was kind of behind it, and now we kind of just yanked Dijak out of it and threw him in this triple threat because why?
Yeah.
I was like, we had him in the NXT championship title picture. Then we put him with Gacy, which I've been enjoying, but then we yanked him out of that one, and now we're throwing him into this NXT match. I was like,
it's because they painted themselves in a corner. So now they've got to make Obafemi's match interesting. Because he's literally gone through everybody. It's like, so what do we do? Oh God. Oh, I know. Let's just put two random people against him at the pay-per-view, which is exactly what they're doing. Cause he has literally cut through every single big time, like big heavy hitter player. He's just mowed through them all. I mean, they didn't space it out. It was like almost back to back. I mean, it was like constantly. He was like, and I'm just like, you are going to run it. You know, believe it or not, the talent does end eventually. I mean, what are you going to do next? Is he going to go up against the women next? Because that's about what you have left. But no, so what they do is they put... And I like Josh Briggs, and I love Dijak in, you know, in his own way.
Individually.
But, yeah, but it's just like...
This triple threat's not doing them any favors.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, it's literally not doing anything for them. I mean, Josh and Dijak get nothing out of it other than being at the pay-per-view.
I said this before. This did not need to be a triple threat match, and we talked about it. You had a perfectly good story of this just being a one-on-one between Josh and Oba.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I criticize how we're going back and forth because Josh doesn't want anything to do with Brooks, but beating Brooks down... Oba beating Brooks down was a good motivation to just be this on a one-on-one. This did not need to be a triple threat. You could have had Dijak and Gacy had something like a blow-off match. I mean, I don't know how much further you can go than a cage match, but still. Andrew, we're going to get to the final part because I'm going to throw that in there in this whole saga, which was very uninteresting. But Josh's promo and then Dijak promo separately. Just. Why?
I don't know. You all use the word feud for this, and I don't think it's a feud. They just made a match.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the difference between this and the six-woman match, is that the six-woman match that they're building between, you know, JC and Thea, and obviously there's history with the other ladies, and it makes sense naturally how the teams formed. And so there was that, like, backstory to build up a feud from. This one, even with Josh and Oba, it was stretching it. And I think had they not put Dijak in there, they could have focused more on that, you know, gone with the whole, like, you know, I can beat up my brother, but you can't beat up my brother kind of approach right. to it with Josh. And had that be the reason he goes after Oba, and, you know, you could have had him trying to go after Oba earlier, and Oba, like, being like, no way, I'm the champion. I'm not going to, like, what are you doing? Like, that, you know,
yeah.
I'm not fighting you for nothing kind of a thing. And just, like, work that way in there. But it just felt like they were, like you were saying, they just had to do something with this. And so they just, like, snatched Dijak off of the stuff he had going with Gacy and just threw him in there with these two. And they kept throwing these little hints at it, like, building up to this, but none of them felt authentic or organic. And then they all of a sudden just switched Gacy over to a new opponent, too. And luckily, Gacy's super entertaining. So,
yeah,
his charisma and everything helps that a lot, which you don't get from some of these other guys. And so it's just super awkward. I'm sure the match will be a big, beefy match, but it just, there's... It's just another match to me. There's so many other better developed matches for Santa Clara.
Well, speaking of awkward too, like, we ended the show with these three facing off against each other in the back. That was also awkward as well, because Josh is watching the television. Dijak comes in, said some words. Oba Femi walks in. They all stare at each other for an awkward, like, 7 seconds of silence before we cut to the next thing. I'm like, you just made me not care about this even more. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, NXT. Yeah.
I literally am like, it's like, why? Why should we invest in it? We know what's going to happen. We know that Oba Femi is going to win. There's no way that he's not going to win.
And here's the thing. Like, I like all three of these men individually to varying degrees, and I don't blame them. What I'm frustrated with is the story that's being told leading into this pay-per-view. Because there isn't one.
Like, is there one?
We had the potential. Again, for me personally, it should have just been a one-on-one match between Josh and Oba. You had that set up there when Brooks got beat down during that title match a couple weeks ago. And you could have focused on these two interacting, or you could have had Josh want to, like, jump Oba at any chance he got for doing what he did to Briggs. Like, that's how we do it. But no, we throw Dijak in here for no apparent reason. You stop the feud that he's going on to have with Gacy. And then we'll talk about Gacy because, like, Will, you touched on, we threw him and he's doing another random feud for no apparent reason, but to do something. I need the bookers to watch our episodes for NXT because we're trying to help you guys. We're trying to help. We love the product. We wouldn't be reviewing it if we didn't like it. But we need y'all when Stand and Deliver's over. We got to rearrange some stuff around here. I want to move on because we can talk about this forever. Never mind. All right, let's just get this over with. So we rolled all that into one, but chronological order, we now get Lexus King versus Von Wagner. I hated this match. Hated it. Like, it was sloppy. Like, I don't know if it was Vaughn's fault or... Yeah, I'm going to blame Vaughn for this one. Like, that weird DDT spot did not look great. But Lexus King tried to do a DDT. This whole match was just a mess. Lexus King wins. I do not care about this match. I do not care about the story and the feud here. Mm-mm. This was my low point for this evening. Like, this was bad.
This match was garbage. It was garbage. It goes back to the, what the hell are they doing with this dude? I mean, he's just fighting random ass people. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to it. And at first it was kind of, okay, he's going to be the trickster, the one that's like, you know, but now it's just like, do you know what you want to do? It's like, because I'm not really sure that you know what you want to do here, because I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure many other people aren't sure. So yeah, I don't even understand this matching. I mean, first Mr. Stone, now Von Wagner. What is it? Can they just give this man a purpose? That's all I ask. Give him a purpose. And then, because right now I have no reason to get behind him. Again, it's just like with Baron Corbin. I was like, unless you give me something to hold on to, I'm not following you, dude. I could care less about you. So if you disappeared tomorrow, I'd be like, oh, really? I had no idea. If I came across you on fire, I would walk away. That's how much I don't care about you right now. So
The views expressed here during the DDT review do not reflect the mission statement of the BC WrestlePod.
No.
Just kidding. You know what his purpose should be? Purpose should be to get that beard line fixed. That's his first step to making me care. Fix the beard line, but Andrew,
character wise and all that stuff aside, I don't really know much about Von Wagner. He just doesn't interest me at all. His ring attire looks like he just came to work and just took off his shirt, basically.
Oh yeah. Okay, so let me explain his character real quick, Andrew, and you're a nerd like us, so you'll get this.
Yeah.
The way that me will have described Von Wagner this whole entire time, and it sucks, but physical appearance and the way that he acts and he talks, it's like someone decided to play a barbarian in D&D and intelligence was the dump stat.
Yeah. What? He's like a low end barbarian.
That makes sense.
Full on.
He's pulling it off. And then the Lexus King thing, I remember hearing about when he was going to take on this name, and I get that there's some things that he has tied it to in his family that makes some sense. But
I suppose
when they announced that he was going to be using this name and I've seen this character and all this stuff, I'm just like, I just can't wait till they just turn him back into Brian Pillman Jr. At least you've had some interesting moments then. This match itself, it felt like Lexus King was trying to be the comedic wrestler. There were certain moves he got hit by that he was like overselling and making these like big reactions to, while Von Wagner was trying to be the serious one. And it was like, they weren't clicking at all. Like, mm-hmm. Lexus was trying to sell stuff while Von Wagner was not even like paying attention to it. Like, the audience wasn't able to read any of it. The mess up on the first power bomb leading up to the finish outside of, outside the ring, took away some of the momentum from the finish. And not using the table, if you're not going to use the table, don't clear it. Like, powerball,
yeah, I know.
is bad. The whole finish was weird. The whole match it never really got going. They didn't click. And the fact that the feud doesn't have anything going in it that's interesting, this match was a perfect representation of this feud. So yeah, it was the low point. It was the lowest ranked match for me of the night, easily.
We move on because I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm going to be honest. Like, the opening match was fantastic. And then the next 30 to 45 minutes of what we got with what we just all discussed is like varying degrees of enjoyment. I was like, this first half was not my favorite. Mm-mm. But then things start to pick up really quickly. So throughout the night, we see Ava visiting Carmelo and Trick separately, talking to them about, hey, we can't have everything go crazy and there needs to be a definitive winner. And I was listening into that carefully, that there needs to be a definitive winner on Saturday. And there's rumors that we're going to get a stipulation added to this match, like loser leaves NXT kind of thing. And I was like, that's the perfect way to get Carmelo up to main roster at this point. Like, that is the only way to get Carmelo up to main roster, throw him on Raw, because if you want to put him on SmackDown, I'm okay with that too. But who knows at this point? Then we get into, backstage, We have Carmen Petrovic and Natalya. Natalya's giving Carmen some pointers about her match. Listen, I love Natty. I do. But what? I guess her and Tegan are no longer a tag team. I'm going to be honest, and I said it on the Raw review, pair her up with Shayna and Zoe, because I kind of like those three as a faction. I'm not going to lie. But Natalya's giving pointers to Carmen. Roxanne comes in, basically tells Carmen she's stupid for, you know, wanting to rely on idols like this. Then we get the stare down. So I was like, okay, cool. Listen, we could have had this feud between Lola and Carmen without Natalya needing to be there. I'm just going to put it out there. And we'll talk about it when we get to the match. But then we get probably one of my favorite stuff, because Ariana Grace is slowly I'm warming up to her ridiculousness and her character. She's backstage with all these dresses. And she's like, I got these dresses for Georgina. I'm like, I was so mad that Gigi was not on this episode. I was like, this was the perfect time to have Gigi on here. I'm hoping that we get some shenanigans at Stand and Deliver, because I think that'd be hilarious. But Ren Sinclair walks in, and honestly, girl was spitting some truth. She's like, well, aren't beauty pageants about like not falling into the standard trap of what they are and just presenting your authentic self? I was like, girl, you're speaking some philosophical truth. And then watching Ariana get really upset about it, and that's how we're getting this match later in the evening, was so dumb and fantastic. I love Ariana Grace is slowly working her way up of one of my favorite peoples. But then again, I got to remember whose daughter she is. I'm like, oh yeah, your dad taught you the comedic chops. You got to be Santino. You did a good job with Ariana.
Yeah.
Gosh, man. Like, the way that we got this match later between these two was stupid, but it's my kind of stupid. I swear, I need Gigi to be at Stand and Deliver, and I need to see all the crazy stuff that those two get into.
Which then leads
into a redemption match. But Will, you were gonna say
something? I wanna see Gigi walk in to Stand and Deliver like in a full dress. Just like she's been forced into it, you know. It's like, and then she comes out and she just rips it off, you know, and then, oh my god, that would be great. I would love
she pulls that. The early like 2000 Not Another Teen Movie where she comes in a dress but to still rebel, she's wearing like Chucks underneath.
Yeah. God, that's great. Georgina.
You know what? If we want to morph Gigi Dolan's character and persona into like Avril Lavigne via the skater boy era, like, I'm here for it. Might as well. So next we get a redemption match from one Miss Lola Vice, because she takes on Carmen Petrovic. And I got to say, I like this match a lot better than I did when she faced Natalya last week, because Carmen and Lola actually had some good chemistry. And I thought, I'm going to be honest, this was a lot better than I thought it was going to be after what we saw last week. But Lola and Carmen did the thing, and I'm kind of happy to see Lola win here and get that redemption back, because last week was not it.
No, God bless her. Now, I agree. This was a pretty darn good match. I mean, really, really good match, actually, but. Yeah, and I agree. I was a little leery of it. I don't really know why. Well, I guess I do, but I wasn't sure. I just wasn't sure if. I mean, I love the women's wrestler. I love the women wrestlers, and I think they're super talented. But I don't know. I just didn't know if they were going to click. I was just like, oh, I don't think this is going to. This is going to be all like, you know, I don't know. But then it didn't. It was totally not at all what I was expecting, and it blew me out of the water, actually. And I agree. I agree with you. I think that this is way better, and I mean way better. And man, Carmen blew me away. I won't lie. She did. I was like, I watched her the whole time, the whole match. And I mean, because Lola, I love Lola, because I've seen Lola before, you know, multiple times. But this, you know, I wasn't 100% familiar with Carmen Petrovic. So I was really very impressed with her in this match, like totally blown away by her. So, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't sure either. The promo before didn't give me a lot of hope. The match last week was kind of rough. I don't need Natalya to be there, honestly. I will say Petrovic, her entrance was kind of cheesy. it's you know, it's like Steve Blackman stuff, you know? It's just, yeah, I get it, you're a martial artist, but so it's just that you're taking that theatricality a little too far with this. But they did really well once they got into the match using their different martial arts backgrounds and, you know, athleticism. And I wasn't sure about this match at first, but going through it, I really enjoyed this match. And that finish was perfect. It was cold the way she was like, I'm going to lock in the sharpshooter and I'm going to do it to where when I lock it in, I'm going to be able to stare right at you as you're.
Yeah. Yeah,
like it taps out. And she didn't like flinch at all. She just like put it on and stared at her just like the whole time. And so like I became a quick fan of Wilma Vice when I first saw her not too long ago, when I think it was right when she jumped in as the third woman in that title match. You know, I've said it before, the way she mixes her martial arts style into professional wrestling is really seamless. And, you know, Carmen was really good too. She threw a lot of like a lot more fancy kicks and stuff like that in there. I think they were saying she's trained in Kung Fu. I thought they both did a really great job in this match.
I think for me, I feel that Lola has needed some sort of like a redemption, given the fact that post Vengeance Day, like you mentioned, Andrew, her being the third person in that match between her, Roxanne and Lyra at Vengeance Day, she's kind of not had, she's been on losing streak for a little bit. And now I'm glad that we're finally building her back up, because I think she's super talented. And I think Lola does better when you allow her. Obviously, you got to train her in the way that WWE wants their wrestling, but allow her to use her background of an MMA and, you know, jiu-jitsu expert too. Like, I don't want to say let her be the new Shayna Baszler, but let's get more like actual like good mixed martial artists turned wrestlers, because, and let's book them better, because justice for Shayna is still at the top of my list. Justice for Shayna Baszler. If you haven't watched her match at Bloodsport, y'all need to go find it, because, oh girl, Shayna's just, I don't want to, I'll be here all night. That's her different podcast, but like, holy crap, man. I'm happy to see Lola win. All right, from this point on, I'm just going to put this out there, minus one or two things. I think from here on out, this is where I enjoyed the show more and more as it went on. For me personally, my co-host may disagree with some stuff, and that's okay. But for me, this is where my enjoyment of this week's NXT started to kick into gear. So I'm going to combine these two segments together, but after the match between Lola and Carmen, we get the Tony and Ilya like cinematic piece. And we're going to put both of them together, because the first part was just Ilya arriving at the warehouse and walking in. But I'm combining the second half, because now me and Will, we were talking about this a little bit earlier today. And I'm going to make a bold statement here. I thought this was fucking fantastic. I enjoyed this more than I thought I was going to. There were bits and pieces where I thought it was kind of cheesy, but this is what they should have did the whole entire time. We could have taken out Stax and Ilya's match last week, or just the weird buildup we had. Just let Tony play mind games with Ilya the whole entire time. This should have happened first, as soon as we found out Tony was the number one contender. But I thought this was fantastic. Now, Ilya struggled a little bit, because I was like, there's some weird pauses. And, you know, I get English is not his first language, so I give him a little grace with that. But I gotta say, Tony actually won me over with this. He's becoming more and more Soprano every single time he talks. So I don't know if he's watching old Soprano episodes or what, but this officially for me, I was like, okay, now Tony to me is an actual, like, okay, just a little bit more and he could be a full villain in this one, because now who we're starting to push him as a heel, kind of. Look, I'm getting these faces. They're probably going to disagree with me, but I don't give a what, because I thought this was fantastic. I enjoyed this. I love me some good camp. This is what I wanted from this feud. Boys, rip it apart. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not going to rip you apart.
I don't care. I enjoyed the hell out of this.
I'm kind of over it all. I'm normally very much into the camp. I really am. But for some reason, I don't know what it is, but and this could just be the theater person in me. I don't know. But the something about the Tony's character that's really bugging me. And I don't mean like good job on your character. I mean, there's something bugging me about it. And I can't quite put my finger on it yet. But this whole scene was just, I felt it was unnecessary. I felt it was like, okay, I think you're accentuating all the points that you've already told us. And now you're trying to like, really like, you know, now you've gone full, hey, you know, you've totally gone there. And I'm just like, I don't think we had to go there. Cause now it's like, now I feel like we're playing a stereotype. I think that might be what it is. I'm just like, well, that's not true. I did see it coming. I saw it coming the minute that he and Stax kind of did away with the tag team. I saw this coming. I was like, this is going to be like Marlon Brando, you know, Godfather trope. Here we go. And it was. And then it's the saw in the wood and the all of that. I was just like, what the hell is this? Just like, I don't know. I don't think we needed it, but you know, I think there was one point, and I mentioned it to Mikey. I swear to God, I think Ilya was reading off a cue card. Because there was a couple of times he looked past Tony and was talking. And I'm like, is he looking at someone or is he looking at like a cue card? Because something tells me he's like, because it looked like he was reading something for a moment there. And I was like, what? I don't know. This whole scene, I was like, let's just get to the damn match. I was like, you know. And I think it's, and I know they had to do something in the go home show. I know they had to do something. I just was like, is this it? This is what you did? This is what you went with? Well, it was a choice.
Yeah, no, I gotta agree. First of all, like, what's up with the hats? Like, they were wearing fedoras, and then one dude who was randomly sitting there with a crowbar had a bowler hat on. Like, and like, the way that they just set them up, I was like, I don't believe any of you are these characters. You don't look like, you look like, it looks like Guys and Dolls version of mobsters. And, you know, you want to talk about, like, I don't think he's gone full soprano. I feel like he's like a Simpsons mobster. Like,
yeah.
Little, like, stereotypes. This promo between the two of them would have had more impact had this happened like in the ring with them talking live. Yeah. And I get that that's harder to do because you don't get takes and things like that, but it would have had more weight to it. But every time that I see these promos like for this buildup, I've gotten less and less excited about what they're trying to do, because it feels like they're trying too hard to show this. And at the same time, it also makes Ilya like just look weak, and it makes him like, I kept waiting for Ilya to turn something on. Like, if we're going to play into stereotypes, why are we not playing into his, like, you know,
Russian, I know,
you know, Eastern European
KGB.
Like, why does he not have like a few dudes that show up behind all these, like, you know, all of Tony's guys and like It's just one of these things where it just makes him seem so weak. But it's just gotten me less and less interested in this. And that's bad, especially when you've got the main event that we're getting, that I'm like, well, now you've convinced me that that should be the title match. And then this is not, because it's just not doing it for me anymore. I know they're going to have a great match in there because they're both good in-ring performers. But yeah, I think the biggest part is it's like you're just playing up to these stereotypes and tropes, and you're doing it in a kind of cheesy
way. Not even in a good way.
So yeah, it's just been a miss for me. So
cool. No, I understand, and like I still double down on my statement from last week. I think if we just had Ilya go full, like literally his moniker is the Mad Dragon. Or, you know, if we wanted to upgrade it and let him be the Mad Czar, like,
right.
I still think he should have got to that warehouse and just fought like 50 dudes a la John Wick style.
Yeah, like a Jason Statham type thing. I mean,
Tony's whole plan was not to stop Ilya, but to get him exhausted and tired. And it was like, I poked at your weakness, which is your anger. You decided to fight all 50 of these dudes. I knew you were going to win, but now you just tired yourself out. So come Saturday, I'm going to embarrass you in front of the world. I still thought this was fantastic. It was so stupidly camp. I just need some stupidity in my wrestling. Hopefully we can agree on this next one, because now we get the supernova sessions with Lyra and Roxanne. I see, Will, we're probably going to disagree here a little bit.
No, not necessarily.
First and foremost, I love that metaphor just egged on the whole situation like people do in high school. It was fantastic. They were egging on Lyra and Roxanne's. I think that this is probably the best Roxanne has sounded in terms of promos since this whole heel turn has begun. Her delivery did not grate me as much as it has been in the past. However, then we got Lyra. Okay, so here's the thing. I give it a little bit of grace because it was done sparingly, but for me as a writer, if we have to resort to cursing when we're doing promos, I was like, oh, we ran out of things to write for meaningful. Thankfully, Lyra only said it twice, but I'm going to be completely honest. I like this too. This was the intensity from Lyra that I've needed from this whole entire time. Granted, I wish that we didn't have to resort to cursing. Not because I don't think cursing is a bad thing. It's just that it's just lazy writing when you have to resort to cursing or name calling for that matter. But I mean, I like the ending secrets of Roxanne getting thrown through that table. The poor M&Ms, man. There was a perfectly good bowl of M&Ms and you ruined it. But honestly, this out of everything that we're getting outside of Trick and Mellow, this is probably the better story that we have built. Going into Stand and Deliver, if I'm being honest, I enjoyed this promo for what it was. Roxanne and Lyra going back and forth, trading jabs. This was a fun little segment. I like the ending sequence. And I'm throwing in that I kind of like that Lyra has to go into a different headspace in order to face Roxanne at this point, which is fine. I was like, I wish you did that like weeks ago after she snapped your arm, where you have said, forget being nice. I'm going to destroy you. I want to kill you. I want revenge for you trying to break my arm. But we got it in this one, so I am okay with it. Again, I feel that I'm going to be alone in saying this, but I enjoyed this. I loved it. And maybe I'm biased because I like both women. I'm excited for this match. Boys, tell me I'm wrong.
Andrew, I'll let you go first this time.
I mean, I do agree that metaphor was entertaining as the high schoolers in the back egging on the two people in the middle trying to fight. And I also got a kick out of Noam Dar sneaking M&Ms out of the bowl every once in a while. I actually thought that Lyra won the War of the Words. Like, the things she said definitely hit home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more. And then obviously she won the physical confrontation too. With the promo that we got a little later in the night, I think, I don't know, it almost seems like they're pivoting away from what they might have been planning to do. And I kind of feel like we might see both of them switch during the match, with Lyra going more heel. But that's kind of what I got from this. From that, you know, it was a in-ring promo session thing. These aren't usually my favorite, but at least it was on the contract signing.
Yeah, I mean, Metaphor is always entertaining. I love them. I really do. And I agree. I think Lyra won that words-wise. I mean, I know the... I'm what she said, what? Bitch, I think, twice. In the fact that you like to do this, not you are a... But, I watched this twice, and I watched it the first time just to watch for the, you know, the entertainment value of it, you know, what's going on and things of that and who was doing what. The second time I watched it, I had to watch it to listen to Roxanne, because see, to me, she sounded very rehearsed, quote unquote. Everything she said was very structured, and that's not, probably structured is the wrong word, but it seemed very out of character almost. And even though she's embraced this heel persona, it's like either the performer hasn't committed 100% to it, you know, or the character hasn't committed 100% to it, but there's something. And I was watching her and I was listening and I was just like, I don't believe you 100% yet that you're a bad person. And maybe Andrew, maybe you're right. Maybe at Stand and Deliver, it'll be she was like, what am I doing? I'm not a bad person, you know? And then Lyra's like, but I am, you know, or I don't know, but I just, yeah, there was something going on with Roxanne. I didn't know what it was, but I don't believe her yet. And I want to, but I just don't believe her yet. So, I mean, this, it was an entertaining moment. It was entertaining because anytime you have Metaphor mixed in it, it's going to be entertaining. It's just like Joe Gacy. Anytime Joe Gacy's there, something fun's going to happen. And yeah, I love the fact that they were the high schoolers in the background, just
they were instigating,
yeah, instigating, and that was great, you know. And but I mean, I don't know. I don't. I agree, though. I think Lyra won this one, especially when she put Roxanne through the little table. not that that was very much. I mean, you know, come on now. What was that little? Mica table, or you know, it's like the IKEA thing. I don't know. I was thinking, Roxanne, come on,
M&Ms.
Come on, Roxanne,
for the M&Ms.
Come on, Roxanne. It's IKEA. Come on, get up. You know, that sort of thing. But no, I mean, it wasn't horrible. I just don't think Roxanne was at 100%. I think she fell flat a little bit.
That is a very fair assessment. I enjoyed the hell out of this. I like this. I think this match is going to be awesome. And to kind of add credence to what both of you mentioned beforehand too, because we saw that small interaction between Lyra and Tatum, who's now back magically. this is like, yeah, I was gone for like 2 weeks, but I'm back now. Tatum looks worried because Lyra says that I can't be the same Lyra when I go up against Roxanne come Saturday. And I'm wondering, I'm like, Tatum, I love you, but you need to stay. I need you to stay as far away from this match with a 10-foot pole as possible. I don't want shenanigans to happen during this match. I want there to be a definitive win. I don't need shenanigans. Please. But I think this match is going to slap. It's going to be fun. Okay. So now let's talk about Obafemi versus Joe Gacy. So, first,
do we have to?
We could do this really quickly. But Obafemi makes his entrance after they do a continuous shot, which did not look great because it literally was just like a random table. And then he walked into the ring. This is not like NXT. This is not like Raw or SmackDown where you have actual arenas to make Gorilla and the stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. But Obafemi makes his entrance. Joe Gacy's music hits. We get the camera turned upside down. Still very jarring to my senses. But then Sean Spears comes out and attacks him with the chair. And then, you know, I did like what Sean Spears was doing. Laugh for me, Gacy. Ha ha ha. I was like, what in the Final Fantasy X is this? Like, what is happening with this laugh? But I was like, oh, cool. Awesome. We're going to get a feud later post Stand and Deliver. I'm here for it. Then the actual match for Obafemi and Joe Gacy had it. And went as about as expected as I did until I got worried when the ref threw the X up. I was like, oh, damn. I was like, not again. I legit got worried. But then we find out that Gacy's fine. But I was worried in a moment. But I'm proud to say I'm glad the ref has followed the concussion protocol and threw up that X because that did not look great. I was like, oh no, I got worried and I got scared. Obviously, Obafemi wins this match via referee stoppage. But that was a very scary ending to this match because I thought Joe Gacy legit got hurt. But again, we talked about this. We pulled Dijak out and we're throwing Sean Spears in here randomly for no apparent reason. Just because he stole the chair? Is that what we're doing now? Whatever. Am I happy that Gacy and Sean Spears are going to fight? Absolutely, because that's a match I wanted to see when Sean Spears returned. However, NXT has this biggest problem right now and I need them to work on it. You can't just start and stop feuds. Like, you can't start... This is not a game of Twister. You can't, like, put right hand red and your left foot green. Like, you can't keep swapping places of these people in feuds, because my biggest inconsistency with NXT right now is that you have the potential to tell some really fun stories and really fun feuds, but you start and stop a lot of them because you pull people out and throw them into random matches that they don't need to be there. A la Sean Spears and Joe Gacy. We had something going on between Gacy and Dijak. You pull Dijak out. Gacy gets thrown in with Sean Spears. And then getting fed to Obafemi makes no damn sense to me. No. But I'm like, whatever. This whole entire thing was a mess. But yeah, I was worried for Gacy, but he's okay now as we come to talk about him later. But this was a cluster of a thing. I was like, this was not good.
No. Again, it's why? Why? And, you know, and you're right. And it's like he and Dijak had this really fun thing going that I was thoroughly entertained by, like on both sides, not just Gacy, but Dijak too. I was like, look at you, Dijak. There you go. We got you a little bit of purpose floating around. And then they just stopped. And then all of a sudden Gacy's going after somebody else or someone else is going after him. And then it makes my head hurt sometimes because I mean, if as a performer, it would bug the crap out of me if I'm in this, like, I'm in this full character story mode. And it's like, we're doing act one and we stop in the middle of scene two and move on to act three. It's like, wait, what? I would be so frustrated. So God bless these wrestlers, but I mean, Gacy, I would be like, what the hell are y'all doing? What do you want? You want me to, what? Why? What's my motivation, Mr. Director? What's my motivation? Because I don't feel it. And I'm not feeling it. I mean, watching it, it's like this old Obafemi Joe Gacy fight makes no damn sense. And I mean, I knew we knew what the outcome was going to be. I mean, we know because Obafemi has literally torn through every male wrestler in NXT so far. So you're just throwing raw meat at him. And it's like, okay, here we go. Oh, look, he won. Oh, yay. So I really, and this is, and again, this is all their fault. They painted themselves in their own corner. And I'm like, I don't really care about Obafemi right now. I don't. Because it's like, what's the point? That's like, at the moment, there is no one, we have no one that could defeat you. Not without some shenanigans, maybe. Maybe that's what needs to happen. I don't know, but, you know, I mean, he's just, you know, and of course, they've created this sort of monolith, you know, with all the apes trying to do whatever around the base of it. And it's just like, where do you go from here? You know, when we're in acting, we always talk about, you know, you need to be here, but you got to start here. But they started him up here. And now it's like, where do you go? You're already there. You know, personally, yeah, he's at the height of his career. So now it's time for him to tumble down. So something needs got to happen. You literally pushed him to the height of his career too soon. And now what? And that's a disservice to him, too. It's not just, you know, to everybody else around him, but it's, I mean, you rushed him in there so fast. And I don't, and maybe it was because, you know, Wes Lee had to step out. And so you had to fill that void with something, and you did, and you got overly excited and just kind of pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. But it's like,
you know what? Now that we're talking about this, I actually would have preferred if we did this in reverse. Don't make Oba, now that we've seen, now that we've experienced Oba Femi's championship reign, not to say, and it's not Oba's fault. I don't blame Oba in the slightest. I blame the powers that be that book him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be honest, I actually would have had Josh be the NXT North American champion at some point a couple months back, and then give it to Oba at Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
But have Oba fight all these people, and you know, him and Dijak could have went at it to see who goes to face Josh, and then you still get the one-on-one match. Now granted, that's not what we got, and this is in like my in the alternate universe version of this. But I think having Oba win at Stand and Deliver would have been great, because he's just squashed everybody else in this universe. He has squashed Dragon Lee, Lexus King. Like, he's beaten almost everyone here. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it doesn't help. But again, the X got thrown up. I got worried. Andrew, do you have any additional thoughts to add to this whole thing? Baller. Mm-hmm. You're muted. Technical difficulties. We don't know what happened.
I will say that you've been very, very quiet. Like, I've had to turn my headphones all the way up.
Ooh. So,
well, there we go. I couldn't unmute myself for some reason.
There you are. Wow, you're louder too.
Oh, that was weird. Sorry, back to the show. This doesn't make, it didn't make a whole lot of sense in both kayfabe and in like reality of why is the champion wrestling in another match 5 days before a triple threat match? In storyline, why would he do that? Why would he risk any of that? Like, what's the point of it? In reality, why would you do that? Because there's a chance that your wrestler is going to get injured. And look what happened during this match. Someone almost got injured. That could have been Oba Femi, and then now you've screwed up your whole plan. Why would you take that risk? Yeah, they needed to do something there. Why? This, you know, should have been here. It should have been a number one contender match with Dijak and Josh Briggs wrestling each other. If it's just like the tag match we had to open the night. But all in all, yeah, this didn't make a lot of sense. It was super random, especially they're doing separate things, and now you've tried to squish those two separate things together because Sean Spears was thrown into a contender match for this triple threat because you needed to convince us that we already didn't know the match that was going to happen. So you had to have the two people we knew were going to wrestle for the title in contendership matches with that we knew they were going to win. And in the process of that, Gacy stole Sean Spears' chair. And then following that, Gacy threw the chair off the top of the roof and Oba Femi was randomly there and almost got hit by it. So now that's why they're wrestling. Like, it's just trying to do too much with too little ingredients. And, I I did hear some stuff about, like, they were worried about Gacy having a concussion. There was supposed to be a promo that Briggs and Dijak would have come out following the finish of the match and done an in-ring, like, promo stuff to happen to build up to this, and then weren't sure about what was going on with Gacy, so that's why we got the awkward promo of them backstage, which also felt like it ended, like, they finished the lines that they were given, and they were just like, is the camera on off yet? Is it done? Are we going to turn the cameras off? Like, it just felt so weird the way it ended, but now that makes a lot more sense. But in reality, we should have just never had this match to begin with. If you needed to throw a promo in there with the three guys that are competing, try to build up some more interest in this, but yeah.
Yeah, thankfully Gacy is okay. And then, you know, later in the evening, Ava is in her office and Gacy is crawling on the floor, which was hilarious. And he wants Spears. So on the pre-show for Stand and Deliver, it's Gacy versus Spears, which I'm like, I wish we had more of a build because this was something on my bucket list. But hey, I'm not going to complain. I just hope this is not a one and done. I want this to continue on. And let's actually build a better feud for this. So we'll see what happens with this. So then we get into a really good of fun match, Ariana Grace versus Ren Sinclair. You know, for what it was, I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. Ariana Grace, again, is moving up the ranks. I'm starting to love her more and more. I do think Ren needs a little bit more work, but, you know, that's being part of an NXT because there was a lot of, like, counter wrestling in this match, which was, like, how do I put this? Obviously, you want to do some counter wrestling, but I feel like that's all this was. I was just like, so are we going to get any? Oh, no. Okay, never mind. I blink, it's over. I mean, I like both of these women. I just wish there was a little bit more, but I thought this was fine. Now, what I want to see is the eventual Ariana and Gigi rematch whenever we're going to get that. That's the one I want. And don't give them 3 minutes. I need like 7. Come on, this is Santino's daughter we're talking about. We know she can wrestle. Like, come on. I'm just saying. Boys, unless you have anything else to add.
I was surprised that Gigi didn't make an appearance at all tonight.
I'm like, where was Georgina this whole episode? This match.
Yeah.
I also thought it was super weird that Grace and Sinclair were, like, matching. Like, they look like they could have been a tag team. It was weird. I was like, why did you choose blue with pink, like, accents? Like, why? What was that about? But it was okay. They're both a bit green. But all in all, it was a solid match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Baller. Cool. Loved it. So we get the bumpers for Stand and Deliver. And then we get into my match of the night. Sol Ruka versus Blair Davenport. Jeez Louise. On paper, I knew this was going to be fantastic. Listen, we know Blair is amazing. She is great. But I want to say this was the star-making performance for Sol Ruka to remind everyone why she was on the rise before getting injured. Like, homegirl didn't even pull out the Soul Snatcher to win this match, which I loved. And I'm hoping this is not a one-and-done NXT. Don't end this feud. I want it to continue because we need Blair to get a lick back and then we need a rubber match between these two. But this match had everything I love when it comes to wrestling in general. I love that Blair was being the smart heel by attacking the knee and the injured leg where that brace was and then throwing it on the steps made me like suspend my disbelief. I'm like, no, she just had that surgically repaired. What are you doing? But in reality, she wasn't really doing, like, throwing full force of that. The one-legged, like, top rope into, you know, from Sol to Blair was fantastic. But that cartwheel into the DDT was my move of the night. I was like, I literally yelled at my television. I'm like, oh, shit.
She needs to change her name to Jack with that one.
Oh, this match was so fantastic. And Sol picks up the win barely. And I hope this is not the end between Sol and Blair, because I want to see these two have a couple more matches together. But this is my match of the night. It had good in-ring psychology, good in-ring storytelling, with Blair being the heel. The innovation that is Sol Ruka in her offense is fantastic, putting her actual like surfer / gymnastics background cheerleading into this. Like, I don't want to make comparisons, but I feel that we have another Alexa Bliss situation on our hands, where we use that athleticism to its fullest potential and we get Sol to be at the top. I could see Sol being NXT Women's Champion like by the end of this year. I hope Sol gets a title reign at some point this year, but this was my match of the night. I thought this was fantastic. Both women killed it, but Sol was a star in this match.
I agree. Ditto.
Yeah, my like, match truly. Of the night, too. I kind of am bummed that seeing this match, that we're not getting this as one of the pre-show matches for...
Right? Her. I want to... This should... We should have saw this on Stand and Deliver. Like, I like Gacy and Sean Spears, but let's put Aaron Sol Ruka.
You could have two matches. You could, times they have two matches in pre-shows. Mm-hmm. But it's these two that show me, like, NXT could use a secondary women's title, and not because these two couldn't compete for the primary NXT women's title, but because there's so much good talent. And there's only so many stories they can tell around that. Like, these two put on a championship quality match. So it was great.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. This was not at Stand and Deliver. Like, hey, like, we could, honestly, I would have liked to see this match be on the main card of Stand and Deliver. There's a certain championship match we could swap with it. But, you know, I'm not a booker over in NXT. So from here, we get into our final segment of the evening. Final face-off between Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes. This was the paint-by-numbers final confrontation we always get, where they exchange words and then a brawl breaks out. But I do want to highlight some important facts, because I had to double-check and I needed to make sure that Trick Williams was not just talking out of the side of his neck. But it is true that Carmelo versus Trick is the first time that two African-American male athletes in the WWE are main eventing a PLE over WrestleMania weekend in the history of this company, which is wild. And, you know, history was made at WrestleMania 37 when Sasha and Bianca were the first two black women to main event a WrestleMania in the company's history. It's a damn shame, because it took us 37 WrestleManias to get to that point. And then it takes 3 years later to get two black men to main event a PLE for WWE, which is crazy. Now I just need them to have the main event with two Latinos, and that means that we got to get more Latino talent on there, man. Come on. That's neither here nor there, but I love that Booker did not do the ad-libs for Trick Williams' theme song, because he didn't have to, because the crowd did it for him. And I also love that Carmelo got booed out the building every time he spoke, which is, I was like, yes, this is exactly what we need. We need this, like, be the Dominic Mysterio of Carmelo, just get booed out the building, man, because yeah. Was this anything profound? Not exactly. Did it do its job? Yes. Did I enjoy it? Hell yes, because I'm pulling for Trick on this one. And I swear to all the wrestling gods, if Trick does not walk out of Stand and Deliver as the winner of this match, I may need to take a short hiatus from NXT. I'm like, what are we doing? What is happening? And I mean, you built it up. There has to be a decisive winner on Saturday. But for me, Trick walked out of this one as, you know, my favorite. Though Carmelo did get him a couple times, too. It's like, congratulations, Trick. You've been hot for 6 months. No, for 3 months. I've been hot for 3 years. I'm like, well, he's not inherently wrong. Like, Carmelo has helped carry NXT for the last 3 years. But, man, I love Trick Williams' last line. It's just like, I'm going to whoop that Trix, and then I'm going to whoop that ass. And then a brawl breaks out, and that's how we end NXT. But, boys, how are we feeling, Carmelo and Trick? This is the main event for Stand and Deliver, might I add. this is going to be main eventing.
You know, I there's no way. I mean, I guess there is a way, but there's no way that Trick's not winning this. There's no way. Because then if he doesn't win it, it completely delegitimizes him. I mean, it literally, like, everything he's worked for, everything he's done, all the stuff he's done is no longer legitimate. He has literally, it's like, I mean, Trick may as well just walk away. I mean, truly. Now, you know, I don't know what the stipulation is coming into this, but I mean, there's just no way. I just, you know, with the way they've built it, the formula that they've used to get to this point, there's no way X does not equal Trick Williams. There's no way. And if it goes any other way, I think I think the fan base will go unhinged. I mean, because this is one of those that they have been building this, and you know, this has been one of those that, you know, all the way back we were like, ooh, something's happening. Ooh, is the betrayal going to happen? Ooh, betrayal's happening. Oh no, this, that,
let
the other.
Yeah, well, let me put this in perspective. This story started all the way back at. And this is how far it's been, because this is way before, you know, we got you joined, Will. This story has been told since Great American Bash in July of 2023, when, you know, Trick accidentally hit Ilya with the title during that match. And it's just like, we have been telling this story since July of 2023. And we are here in April of 2024. Like, this is the longest NXT story that we have going into Stand and Deliver, and Trick needs to win this. Not to say his career is over if he doesn't, because the fan base is so behind him. But look, WrestleMania, someone's going to get disappointed. I don't need NXT to disappoint me before we get to night one of WrestleMania. Like, I don't need that in my life right
now.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Trick's career is going to be over, but he's going to literally have to start from the ground up.
That momentum is going to crash and burn and fire in Shawn Michaels' face.
I'm telling you, I think the fans will burn the place down.
And no, I think the fact that it's not for the title, this will be the win that they then push Trick up to the main roster, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked from the promo that what they were saying, you could see both of their sides. Like, whether they were right or not in the action that they took, you could see how the justification came from it. But they also each had their moments of ego that kind of like got them to this point. I do gotta give credit to Mello though, because unlike some other people, those fans are booing the whole time that he was talking. He didn't let it faze him at all. He just talks through it. He doesn't care. He's not there to talk to them. He's there to talk to the person sitting in front of him. And that's what a good heel will do. Like, they don't care, though, because that's what they want you to do. They want you to boo them. I also did like that when the brawl started taking place, like at one point, like Lexus King started attacking some other people, and I saw a few other people starting to fight. So it was like people got out there to try and break up the fight, and then we're like, oh, hey, I don't like you either, get out of here. And so they just like started fighting other people too, so that was kind of fun to tie that in. But yeah, I thought it was a good promo to end the show. And I do wish that there wasn't as much of a gap between the Silveruka and Blair Davenport match and the end of the show, because that was such a good match. It felt like an end event match. But with what we're leading into, it made sense with this. And the fact that it ended with that big brawl, brought up the whole locker room, all that kind of stuff. You know, it felt like a big finish. So,
yeah. Alrighty, boys, we reached the end. Let's give final ratings, because we got a predictions video that needs to be made too. So I will go first. For the reasons that I've stated throughout this entire review, between the last 3 weeks, I enjoyed this the best out of the 3 weeks. I'm giving this a 7.5 out of 10 for NXT this week. There was a lot of good go-home segments. I don't care. I was the only one. I enjoyed the Ilya and Tony stuff. I like the Roxanne and Lyra stuff. Solruka and Blair Davenport really helped me give this extra points, because that match was That was a pay-per-view quality match right there. And if that's what we get in what, like 7 to 8 minutes, imagine what we could get if 10 to 12 minutes with those two. Like, I want more of that. And I'm excited, despite some of the storytelling being lackluster for some of these matches, I am excited for what we're getting, which we'll talk about in the predictions video. But 7.5 out of 10 this week for NXT. Will, you're next. What do you give this week's NXT?
I gave it a 7. I mean, it was a pretty decent go home. I don't think, you know, a lot of the promos were really weird. And I mean, that kind of took it away from me a little bit. You know, the first half was a little sluggish, you know, other than the opening one, but you know, other than that, there wasn't really anything innately wrong with it. I mean, I'd give it a 7.
Well, Andrew,
hoping that Stand and Deliver doesn't continue my trend, because yes, the weeks of NXT for me have gotten better. I looked back and I realized, so last week I gave them a 6, the week before I gave them a 5, this week I gave them a 7. So they progressively gained 1 point every time. So I'm hoping the Send and Deliver is more than 1 point up from this week's NXT. But all in all, it was a good gong show. There was a good focus on Stand and Deliver. We did have some really good matches, like the Soruka Blair Davenport match. Like the women's matches, I really enjoyed, and the tag team matches, you know, go figure. But there were some stuff that was just either repetitive, unneeded, or just didn't click for me. So it was good, middle of the road. Looking forward to most of Stand and Deliver.
Agreed. And stay tuned, because you are going to be seeing a predictions video pop up about an hour before Stand and Deliver starts this upcoming Saturday. So that's going to be crazy. But the three of us are going to get up on out of here, because we got to do that video next. So from all of us here at the DDT Reviews and the rest of the BC WrestlePod boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay Biconic, but more importantly, you deserve to finish your story. We will see you for the craziness of WrestleMania weekend, so stay tuned to your feeds. But until then, ta-ta for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.